Welcome back to Broken Views Podcast. This is episode 14. Yeah, we have Alex Papalexio back again.
Hello.
We have Harley Wang.
Hello.
We have James Plowman back for...
Hello.
And of course we have John Giorgio back again as well.
Hey.
And... yeah, I'm Marcus. So, what have you guys been playing recently?
Well, I, for one, been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns. I've been playing it since the release day. I've beaten it, and there's still so many things to do. You know, that's all I've been mainly playing. You guys?
I've been playing StarCraft, and a little bit of Left 4 Dead, and also a little bit of League of days.
These days I've been playing a bit of Monster Hunter Tri on the Wii, and I've been playing even Moody Morrison. I've been playing Tetsunoko vs. Capcom again.
Me, I haven't done too much gaming out of my usual Warcraft 3, maybe a little bit of Budokai Tekkai 3, nothing out of the usual.
Yeah, same with me. It's, I've been playing a bit of a Left 4 Dead 2, and of course, haven't finally got Kingdom Hearts for the DS going again. So that's pretty much what I've been playing recently. Yeah, I guess that's it for introductions for today, which is a Friday, the December the 10th. So it's exam period for most of us right now, so yeah, let's get right into the show notes, which we have here is Golden Sun Dark Dawn just came out just this past week along with Epic Mickey. Golden Sun is a sequel to the GBA game that came out a couple years ago. So what do you guys think about more of these sequels and remakes coming out recently?
We'd like to start.
A couple years ago?
Several years ago.
Yeah, wasn't it 2002 or 2001 at least?
Yeah, it was like a different platform altogether.
Yeah,
so
that's why I said GBA.
It was GBA.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You said it. But, yeah.
Whatever.
For me, I played it on the GBA, the original, and I thought it was fantastic. So, obviously, I think Dark Dawn has a lot of living up to do, but I definitely will give it a try, and I'll see how it goes.
Same for me. I really want to know what turns out after the ending of The Lost Age. A lot of things happened since then. Now I think, I believe it's a new generation, like the children of the heroes from the original one, and a lot of things apparently happened. I'm really want to see what's going on, you know?
Yeah. It could be a really, really good game. It's kind of a sequel similar to that of Fire Emblem 7-6, is what I'm kind of looking at it as. Just parents, and now it's the children taking over. That could be interesting.
Yeah, really.
And
I think the original heroes make appearances too, like, playable-wise, I think.
That would definitely be interesting to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, as James is right, 7-6. Even though 7 is a prequel to 6, but still the same concept. 6 still has the older heroes from 7 in there as unlockables.
Yep.
Yeah. Hector, Roy, and all of Hector and Ellie would have come as unlockables later on after the game's beat.
And for North American audiences, well, they got 7 first, and then they said, well, what's 6 like? And then they had a look, and, well, kind of the same for...
Yeah, it's a lot of
our North American audience is similar.
Yeah, even though it's not officially been translated in English. But, yeah, the gameplay is pretty much similar. If not exactly the same, except for a few class changes, but I'm not really going to get into that right now.
Yeah, and talking about old school remakes, we have Super Mario All-Stars coming out in about 2 days' time on Sunday, December 12th. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to visiting again, since I haven't played numbers 2, 3 in the Lost Worlds. I'd like to play those again. or at least visit them, since I haven't done so before.
Well, it's not really a remake. It's more like a re-release, because it's already been remade already as the original SNES.
It's just a repackaging to, well, basically it's tremendous value for the dollar. And if you don't have a lot of the games in the package included, or if you haven't experienced it, then you definitely should pick it up right now, because I don't think the price is going to get any better.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a limited edition package for $30. You get Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, 3, and the Lost Levels. And, of course, you get an art folio and audio CD as well within the package. And it's a 25th anniversary packaging that comes with it, so...
This is pretty much a staple for every Wii owner out there. Like, it's Mario Brothers. Like, it's worldwide known, you know? Most, one of the most popular games ever. Like, it's definitely everyone's getting it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the Nintendo Orange Box.
Pretty much.
In a sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, talking about orange boxes, at least, Nintendo actually sold 1.5 million units of their systems over the Black Friday week. Breaking it down, they sold 900,000 DSs, which is a DSi, the DS Lite, and the DSi XL. They sold 900,000 units of those, and 600,000 Wii units as well. So the 15 million units before they talk about a new console is looking likely for the Wii right now, like the 15 million Wii units at least.
Yeah, I think it's the same story every holiday season. You know, you're gonna have a lot of increases in sales numbers, but definitely it's the DS that really stands out, because prices are really low for the DS. If you, especially the DS, for like $80 or something, it was crazy just a couple weeks back.
I think that sale was during this week or something like that, if I remember.
I don't know, but I just know that recently DS, like whichever DS, like DS Lite, DSi, or whatever, it's been dropping like crazy. Probably because the 3DS is coming out.
Yeah, the DSi and the XL have dropped, I think, $20 in the last, like, there was a price drop a couple weeks ago or a month ago that they dropped down $20. Plus, I remember seeing that there was a sale somewhere for the DS Lite for, I think, $80 US. Can't remember where right now. On the topic of hardware, though, Nintendo is stopping the support of Wii Speak and is discontinuing this peripheral, which isn't surprising because it's...
We all knew it was going to end up being useless anyway.
Yeah, it was underused even by first-party games, which is kind of odd for Nintendo not to support their own hardware.
There were some games that had Wii Speak, I think Animal Crossing might have had Wii Speak with first-party games. And some of the online supported Wii Speak, like Monster Hunter, I think, supports it, and a few others, like The Conduit. But as you said, there wasn't much first-party support and a lot of online stuff. It's just Nintendo is not Xbox Live.
Yeah, speaking about Wii hardware, like, whatever happened to the Wii Vitality Sensor that they were all hyping up about?
Yeah, it's kind of being shelved. Yeah, that's kind of being shelved right now. They said that it wasn't the right time this year because they already unveiled new hardware, which is a 3DS at E3 2010. So I'm thinking either they're going to release it, say something about it, like, next year, or maybe push it back to Wii 2. Before releasing the Vitality Sensor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of back rumors.
Maybe Wii 2 comes with the Vitality Sensor.
Okay, I guess we'll move on to our next thing, which is game devs have, developers are trying to fight off pirates, of course, like, from pirating games. A creative way that they're doing it is they're fighting off pirates with the Vuvuzela noise on the DS for Michael Jackson The Experience. It's kind of neat, I guess.
This is an absolutely hilarious idea.
Yeah. It just bl- blares that sound over everything.
That would be fun. It almost make you almost just want to pirate it just to hear that happen. Because you're not losing anything. Just to hear that random noise appear while you're playing in the middle of a game, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And pretty creative,
yeah.
I would say.
You can also pick one up, like a real Vuvuzela, on like eBay or something for like $1.
I know they used to sell Vuvuzelas like when World Cup fever was at high pitch or something, Vuvuzelas for like $1 or something all around, just to
yeah,
just be a noise
maker.
Yeah,
you can like annoy the shit out of your neighbors just like by buying a bunch of them and getting your friends to like just go crazy.
I'd definitely be one of those people.
Yeah, we can see.
I thought you are one of those people.
True.
Especially
like personality.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the next thing. That's Alex's review on Donkey Kong Country Returns. We'll let you take the spotlight for now.
All right. The thing about Donkey Kong Country Returns, like obviously it's a remake, not a remake, but like bringing back old school style gaming from like, you know, like such as Mario Brothers Wii. If you were one of those people who played the original Donkey Kong Country, you'll definitely be able to jump right into this and have that feeling of nostalgia, but plus like a new feeling where it's just brand new, like, you know what I mean. The game is very difficult. Like, it starts off pretty easy, but then it gets really hard fast. And the game also has a super guide feature where, just like Mario Brothers, like if you die a certain amount of times, it'll show you how to beat that level, but you will not necessarily be completing it. As you can still continue on with the game, but that level will still be, you know, incomplete. And I have beaten the game. I made it to the end, and it's not really over. Like, there's still so many things you have to do, like to collect and unlock new levels and certain things. So, like, I haven't seen everything yet, but it still got me really hooked. And if it could, this for any casual gamer out there, you can easily jump into it as well. It's very fun. There's so many things going on in the background. It's very colorful. It's just all around a really good game. Out of from a 9, from a scale from 1 to 10, I would give this a solid 9. And that's pretty much, you know, the summary of it. I can't get into too much detail because it will take up so much time. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess that wraps it up for our Donkey Kong review.
Yeah.
We'll move on to our other news topics. Something that happened pretty recently is that it's pretty big for any moviegoer or geek or sci-fi fan. Is that Irvin Kershner, the director of Star Wars Episode 5, had passed away on Monday, November 29. Just kind of big for a lot
of people. It's a sad day for all Star Wars fans.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's the day after, I think, Leslie Nielsen passed away as well. On to other movie news.
Yeah.
Netflix is making a deal with ABC TV in the States to get a lot of their series onto Netflix. Like, the day after it releases on TV, they'll have new episodes.
Yes, yes, and yes. Like, all I want this is to be in Canada. But probably due to legal issues, it might not be arriving anytime soon. But it's, you know, it's looking good. For the time,
I mean, absolutely, this is fantastic value. Just Lost alone would be worth
it. Lost, yes, yes.
Because like just a while back, like people were buying the entire series of Lost on Amazon for like $100 or something like that. Now
yeah.
You can have full access to it for, you know, you can order it for a year and you still wouldn't spend $100. I mean, so like, I mean, for
you,
I mean, Lost alone, it would be worth it.
For fans of Lost and the ABC television, at least.
Yeah, it depends on the person. Me personally, I don't watch Lost. I don't really care for Lost.
But
yeah.
Lost, I don't know. You haven't seen much of it because it's one of the greatest TV shows ever made. Honestly, not unbiased opinion. Well, maybe it's a little biased, but still.
Yeah.
Like anyone could watch it, and it's really, you just be drawn into it. That's just one show.
The main point is, like, they're getting a TV network to hand over their show, which is like, I mean, you can essentially, if you say, like, for us, like CTV or something, give all your shows to Netflix, then basically no one will watch CTV. So for a network to do that, I don't know what's in it for them, but I mean, it's a huge plus for Netflix.
No, I'm sure they still get revenue,
like royalties and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah, those get royalties out of it.
Like, but depending on how many users watch their programs, they get a certain cut out of it. You know, so Netflix makes their money from everyone.
Any network to hand over their shows. I mean, that's huge. You acquire like an entire channel on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's other shows, like so many on ABC that are really good, and like I'm really excited for it to come to Canada, like very soon. But I don't think that will happen.
About Netflix right now, OnLive has no current plans of competing with Netflix in the realm of video streaming, even though OnLive is planning to have some sort of video service on there as well.
I don't think the price is comparable, is it?
I don't really think it's the same. It's like apples and oranges right now, because OnLive is charging a $10 flat rate plan right now for whatever games they have on there.
It's really depending on...
Like, if they were to offer a video service, it would probably be more expensive.
Yeah, probably add an extra, like, $5, like $3 or $5 onto it as well. That's what I'm thinking. They're combining both services together for us.
But price really depends on content, so more or less.
Yeah, like how much you're going to buy, is what you're buying worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, plus OnLive is like, it's definitely a niche market. Especially when you're looking at a similar service that's available on PC and Mac, which is Steam. A lot more people have Steam than people that know about OnLive, at least.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is there's a safety proposal that could make backup cameras on cars mandatory. I'm guessing this is a good idea because it'll make it safer for people to see behind their cars because of the blind spot squarely that's set squarely on where the trunk is. So, yeah.
Apparently, like, I mean, I think this is interesting because there are a lot of gadgets that you can use with your like GPS or your, if you have like a monitor in your car. But at the same time, I think a lot of smaller, lower-end cars are now going to be more expensive as a result.
Yeah, I guess that kind of covers it for that topic for now. Our next story is, of course, on the topic of mods. A university student that modded 360 units could get up to 3 years in jail. Now, mainly because I think that they're being doing it for profit, in a sense. And that, in that sense, I'm guessing that he got booked for it in a court case on it. And also in the stream of hacking, there's some pretty neat Kinect hacks on that people have been doing. Like, there has been, I think, somebody...
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, somebody hacked the Kinect, so they played the original Super Mario Bros. On it. So, yeah, that's kind of neat as well.
There's a lot of rustling.
Yeah.
There's like a tremendous amount of sound. I can't hear anything.
Yeah, you guys settled down there.
John was grabbing a pizza or something, I don't know. I'm trying to stay as quiet as possible.
Alright, yeah, sorry about that. What are we talking about?
They're talking about University Xbox 360 modder could get up to 3 years in jail.
And there's a couple neat Kinect hacks out there. Like, somebody hacked it, so they played Super Mario Bros. On it by literally just leaning, like, walking over to the right to move forward, walking to the left to move backwards, and, like, jumping to... physically make Mario jump.
shows you how boring Kinect could be with those games. You have to go back to the old school one just to use it, utilize it, and enjoy it. But
yeah,
that's just funny.
It's still selling.
Yeah, still selling somehow. I don't know. Some of the games.
It's gonna be popular for a little while because you know it's a new thing. Like you're using your body movements, but it's gonna get old really fast. Like I can see it.
Yeah, but right now it's selling partly because the prices are so good. I mean, it's being marketed in bundles and it's really cheap compared to a lot of the other accessories.
Yeah, the
only game I see on it that is actually something that most people might be interested in is Dance Central. Everything else is meh. Like,
I could see it work with a fighting game like a Street Fighter. Or like a boxing, like, you know, sort of like
Wii Boxing Sports.
Yeah, there already is, like, Kinect Sports is already out there.
Yeah, but you can't Hadouken.
No.
Maybe you could if it was, like, first-person view.
That would be wicked.
Yeah, like, that would... If I was an Xbox user, I would definitely be interested in that kind of stuff. But from what I see now, I'm like, It's like, whatever. It's
kind of like the Wii when it started out, only... You'd figure that after 4 years since the Wii was launched, they'd have more meat to their launch pad, to their device launching. At the moment, a lot of the stuff looks like Wii write-offs, Wii copies, and whatnot. And I'd say this is about as much for the Move as I would for the 360 Kinect. The other thing is there's a lot of potential like with the Wii, but not necessarily all of the ideas can meet with what it can actually do in reality. Like, I'm not saying that in a year or two we'll have Street Fighter games on Kinect, but at the moment I don't think it can do a lot of those things with the fidelity and the control necessary is available on Kinect at the moment. Because apparently, from what I've seen, there's not a lot of... in doing general movements, it does those all right, but when they get really, really, really specific, it kind of... or when there's force involved, it kind of gets offsetting, or it doesn't, you don't feel that connection, I'm guessing, which is kind of bad.
Yeah, talking about,
Well, it's probably refined, because I've heard that it can get really buggy, especially, when dark-skinned people are using it, sometimes it does not read them, just saying.
Oh, that's no good for me, then.
That's what I'm reading. A lot of people make complaints.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Like how like Kinect is like it only works. It works best with like it depends on your background and it depends on lighting and your skin color as well.
Yeah, I guess if you have like a sharp contrast like in the room, like a bright background, then I guess it would work just fine.
Yeah.
And I guess for the flip side, for you know, like if you have a really bright background and you know light skinned people are using it, and I can see Kinect kind of screwing up too.
I have no idea, but there are a lot of issues with environment right now for Kinect.
Yeah, talking about issues on Kinect, there's a video going around on the webs that some guy is actually just sitting there not moving at all, playing a recent game on Kinect. He got
second place or something like that, like pretty good.
It's pretty hilarious though. It's like, you could pretty much put a cardboard cutout of a person and they'll still win.
That would be interesting and funny.
Either it's really
probably Kinect just is just an autopilot. It just makes you think you're really playing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyways, for me, the time has to be cut short. I'll have to leave the podcast, so take
see
it
later,
easy,
Matt.
Guys.
Yeah,
see you later,
we'll
Alex.
See you another time, Alex.
Enjoy the rest of the podcast. Bye-bye.
Later, Matt. Talking about, on the topic of Xbox, the Xbox Live Rewards program just launched recently, and it dishes out free MS points to people who spend money on it. And if you renew your Live membership, you also get points off of it, and you can get free stuff off of those points after you redeem points.
Well, yeah, you can use the points to buy other games as well.
Yeah.
And like recent video game deal for a PC or whatever, I mean, they're selling games for a couple of bucks. I mean, you literally could buy like full-fledged games with your MS points.
Yeah.
which works to those that are, well, active online. I mean, take advantage of it,
right? I mean, if you're actually using the service, why not reward the people who use the service and encourage those who aren't using it to use it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just like a freebie. I mean, if you're using it, I mean, you get a whole bunch of free stuff with it, with the points. I mean, it's definitely a good deal.
Yeah, I'm guessing Sony's going to jump onto this bandwagon as well sometime soon.
Probably. I mean, they're looking to charge some sort of fee for membership anyways.
They already are with PSN Plus, so...
Yeah, well, they're probably going to try to make it into, like, you know, kind of an app deal eventually.
They're probably going to do it, like, sooner or later. Talking about Sony, let's move on to our next topic, which is there's going to be a Neo Geo station, which is basically an emulator coming to the PSP and PS3 in Japan and Europe on December 22nd. And North America actually gets a day earlier than everyone else on December 21st. This is probably one of the better ideas. Like, this is a good idea that you're finally getting old school titles back onto current platforms like the PS3, the Wii, and the 360. It's kind of late in the game to bring this back, I guess, but it's all good, though.
It's a good idea, but, I mean, people who are really hardcore fans already have those games, and to bring it out now, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it would depend on the price and how the content that they deliver as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with Harley on that.
I just pretty much think it's just more focus towards the newer, more recent
PS3 buyers.
PS3 buyers, Sony, stuff like that. People that are probably within the gaming system within like maybe the last 5 years that haven't had a chance to tackle some of these older titles and probably will never be able to.
Or those who just want to actually experience the emulators in HD on the PS3 versus where it's on now, which is the Wii Motion Plus 360 have this as well.
I think these remakes that they're putting onto this emulator are just, like, ports. They're not going to be remade or anything.
Alright.
So it's like, what you see is what you get from, like, the golden days from back in the 80s and 90s, basically.
It's still a good, it's still a fairly good thing just to have it, but yeah, I agree, it's fairly late.
Is this only pure, PS3 games?
No, it's Neo Geo. It's Neo Geo emulator coming to PS3 and PSP.
Ah, alright, so we're talking about old school Sony titles.
Yeah.
Well, Neo Geo wasn't Sony, but...
Yeah, I get what you mean. I didn't read the article fully, but I get what you mean.
Yeah. On topic of hardware, there's been a... The PSP phone has been rebranded as a Sony Ericsson Zeus Z1. And I think it runs on the Android 2.3 platform, and it doesn't have the PS branding on it, so it's unlikely that it will have the full library of PSP games on it, which is a drag, I guess.
Well, but this is kind of, I mean, you could kind of see it coming because, you know, asked how many years, and you know, it's not surprising that they would brand it Ericsson. And you know, if you remember in the past, none of the Sony phones had any compatibility with PSP games. So it's not surprising, but it is kind of a drag because you'd think that they'd put the two together.
Yeah, because like everything is there, like the D-pad, the ABXY buttons, and the pseudo nub sticks are on there as well.
Yeah, which is kind of unnecessary for cell phone games, but whatever.
Kind of a miss, I guess.
Yeah, on the topic of the PSP phone, I guess, the PSP 2 is the sequel to hardware, at least. It's said to be to rival the PS3 graphics, or at least the early PS3 games, at least. Feature dual analog sticks, comparable to the current PSP, but are concave instead of convex. Will have a similar design to the PSP Go with slide screen, but have a slightly larger overall size, and a touch screen and a rear-mounted touch panel of sorts. It's supposed to have a forward-facing camera and doesn't have any UMD drives. And it's supposedly half as powerful as the PS3, so yeah. But there haven't been any framework or on the framework designs or clock speeds that have been leaked out yet.
Well, all of this just to me sounds like it's going to be really, really expensive.
Yeah, with a really, really short battery life.
Yeah.
It sounds like PSP versus DS all over again. Where Sony releases a system that's supposed to be really powerful, has all of your quote-unquote entertainment needs, which, again, people like because people are buying PSPs and Sony stuff. But if it's pricey and expensive, people will buy it, but not as much as what the competition is selling.
Yeah, I can see this being priced at, like, $500, isn't going to sell, and the battery's going to last for, like, 5 minutes.
Bit of an exaggeration, but
I
know what you mean.
Yeah, iPhone.
And at the moment, I'm guessing that it's all still rumored, like with the 3DS. Remember all the different rumors that we had about the 3DS and how it would be close to PS3 graphics and 360 graphics when it was being hyped about and rumored before we actually had concrete details and specs for the 3DS. Until we actually see what the PSP2 looks like, it's all just speculation. I think we take it with a bit of a grain of salt sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's you know, there's a lot of hype whenever there, or even new games for that, you know.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up for show notes at least. Is there anything you guys want to touch upon that isn't on the show notes?
Anything you come up with? One thing that I saw, again, it was on IGN, was Last Story, a game for the Wii that's under development. They've listed some of the developers, and they have another Awada Asks, where he asks the developers of a video game how the video game is coming about and all the different things regarding Last Story. They announced the developers, and Nobuo Uematsu is doing the music for it. Which just makes me even—it's something that's been on the back of my mind for video games, but it's just—it keeps coming to the forefront every time they announce something new for it. So it's an RPG for the Nintendo Wii, as yet to be released, and right now it looks like a Japan-only release, which sucks. But
yeah,
you never know.
Hopefully, it makes its way to North America and Europe. From what I've heard, that there's a 6-player co-op mode for online play. And it's made by a company by the name of Miss Walker, which I think has the original maker of Final Fantasy is working on this as well.
So, as I said, it should be a really good game, hopefully, when it comes out, and hopefully it comes out in North America as well. And hopefully they also release it. When they release games from Japan, I'd like for there to be a North American dub, but I also like to have the Japanese voice audio just for a comparison. But I don't know, it's probably asking too much.
I think we've been on the sole Japanese versus English dubs.
Yeah,
I think,
or they could have something like keep the Japanese dubs and have like English subtitles on it, so it'll make it easier.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll... I think the last time we were doing a podcast where James was around, I think this came a topic. I mean, I think I brought it up, but the Japanese voiceovers with the English subtitles is probably the better way to go. Because I've seen too many things where the English has been shoddy and it's turned me off at something that's good.
Yeah, sure.
And then there are other people who will already just buy the Japanese version or try to import the Japanese version anyways, mainly because they find North American voices too annoying or whatever reason, or there are changes from the North American version to the Japanese version that makes them want the Japanese version more, and also they look at it as the original version, I guess.
Yeah, usually the English version to a game is usually edited somewhat, sometimes too much, and I can see why people rather go for the Japanese version. Personally, with a couple of games myself, I've done that.
That and the Japanese version usually comes out about 6 months to a year earlier. Like, if you look at Pokemon Black and White, which was selling like hotcakes last I checked.
Yeah, back in September.
Back in September. That's not coming out for us till like March or April.
Yeah. I think it's like a March 10th release date. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah,
I think it's a March release date. Probably going to be March.
I think I remember checking this up. I think I remember a speculation rumor about March 10th.
Yeah.
As you said, it came out September.
Yeah.
Because I remember the big hype about it was something about hitting like a record.
4 million. 4 million units sold in a couple months in Japan.
I heard. Yeah, there was something about a big record of sale for Pokemon games.
It was breaking records left and right.
It's the fastest selling game ever in Japan, from what I remember.
Yeah, that's exactly what I looked.
Yeah. We'll see if it does that well over here. Oh yeah, and they also changed the names as well. I'm not sure if they covered that last time, but some of the name changes as well from, I forget what it was. Some Pokemon name changes from Japanese to English.
Yeah, that's normal. And they changed the region name from Ishu to Anova for the English region.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that's just to branch it out to be more North American like. Because, as you said, the region was based on New York City, right?
Or something like that, or North America.
It's a play on the United States of America.
Anyways, most likely it'll be New York, since it's probably one of the biggest cities in
the world or America.
Yeah.
Even though LA's pretty big, I think they view New York to be
typical American city.
Yeah,
I guess is there any other topics you guys want to touch upon before we end our podcast?
I think that's it.
I can't think of any good.
I'm with John. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Yeah, same here. So I guess we'll see you guys in about a week and a half's time for our next podcast. If you don't see you then, have a great Christmas. Later.
Happy New Year's, everyone. Happy holidays.
And don't do anything stupid.
Or we'll find you.
Yeah.